It is my very, very fortunate duty to reintroduce to you satirist, veteran media producer, and all-around interesting person, social critic and the rest, Marlena Shivo, who I heard on the Rita Cosby show last night, is a friend of Rita Cosby as well, which is great to see. Marlena, it's wonderful to see you. How are you?
I am good, Frank. It's really good to see you. I'm getting an echo in my ear. I don't like it.
Your volume
it.
Might be too high.
It's always, I wish I was too high right now. But anyway, listen, I have to make a comment about something.
Oh, boy.
As usual, because I was listening to you talk about, you know, Scott Stringer and everything.
Yes.
And the woman, and now that, you know, you're always willing to listen to women, and you know, in light of Me Too, you're not always willing to believe all of them. So I need to file a complaint.
Oh, boy.
In real time. When I walked into the studio this morning, there was no water in the break room and I needed to fill my water bottle. So I wanted to go on record now that I put in this complaint. So a few years down the line, when I bring it up again, if I bring it up again, you cannot accuse me of waiting too long to bring it up.
All right. Well, that's a documented complaint, Christian.
Okay.
You're a witness. It's here on radio.
It's noted and been sent to HR.
A documented complaint. There is water in the refrigerator, though. The spout does work. That's what I'm drinking. It's filtered. It's quite good.
We also have bottled water that's left over from the debate.
What are you complaining about? There's bottled water in the refrigerator.
I'm just saying, I'm noting something in real time.
Fair enough.
I will say this, though. When you were talking about, you do make a compelling argument for Scott Stringer. I mean, he was very transparent in what he said about his relationship with this woman. It did seem like it could be consensual, and she sounds like a opportunist scorn.
Maybe,
of course. However, I do think that if your wife, Rachel, ever allows you to consummate your marriage and that consummation results in a child and that child happens to be female, I can totally see you changing your tune.
I'm sure
when
that's
it comes
true.
To Me Too and anything harassment related.
I am sure that's true.
Put you that know, on record as well.
I have no doubt that that's true. As they always say, where you stand depends on where you sit. I'll be the first to admit that. But first of all, obviously, everybody is still talking about President Biden's speech yesterday. I think he's on two of the four news televisions that we have on, and Mayor Giuliani's on the other two. If people didn't hear much of the Biden speech yesterday, I actually fell asleep during President Biden's speech yesterday. Here's a portion of what the president had to say.
We all know life can knock us down, but in America, we never, ever, ever stay down. Americans always get up. Today, that's what we're doing. America's rising anew, choosing hope over fear, truth over lies, and light over darkness. After 100 days of rescue and renewal, America is ready for a takeoff, in my view. We're working again, dreaming again, discovering again, and leading the world again. We have shown each other and the world that there's no quit in America. None.
Now, substantively and in terms of theatrics, what did you think of his speech?
Well, I too fell asleep. I had every intention. Usually when I come in here to talk to you, Frank, I'm up all night. There is no sleeping involved. And I decided I was going to, you know, stay up, watch the speech, you know, take some notes. And that didn't happen. I just completely passed out. Thankfully, I got up and was able to come in here. So I had to kind of go back. I got past the part where I got up to the part where he said jobs, jobs, jobs. And I really thought, like, wow, someone really needs to flip the switch here because he sounds like he's short circuiting. He was very tired looking and sounding. I don't think he said anything that interesting exciting for that matter. I do find it when he talks about jobs and he talks about the American Jobs Plan, when he said that they were going to add millions of jobs and trillions of dollars, and they that these jobs, nearly 90% of the infrastructure jobs created by the American Jobs Plan do not require a college degree, and 75% do not require an associate's degree. So it begs the question, Is that part of his solution to, you know, right. College tuition relief? Just don't go because we'll still have jobs for you.
That's a fair point. And I have to say it's a logical conclusion that I had not drawn. But you're exactly right. I think we're on exactly the same page in terms of your analysis of the speech. And you voted for President Biden, right?
You love bringing up.
Well, because you
Well, who was I supposed to vote
Well, your
vote
criticisms
for?
Have more credibility than mine, because if I say something that's critical of Biden, it's easy to write me off. Oh, Frank is just a Trumpster. But if you, an admitted Biden voter, are critical of Biden, I think it has a great deal more credibility. Am I right, Christian?
Oh, 100%. Because
yeah, exactly.
It weighs more. You,
right.
I mean, most of the
Did
stuff
you just
say
tell
right
me that
off.
I weigh more?
Stop, please.
Than Frank?
I also said Frank's opinion doesn't really matter. That's
true.
What he says.
That's true. I noticed you're wearing a necktie today.
And I notice you're not.
I know. I forgot that when you come in, you like to videotape our segments and then post them on social media. If people ever want to see that, by the way, they can follow Marlena in all forms of social media at Marlena Shivo. That's MARLAINA. And then Shivo like Terry Shivo.
But just know that I cut out all the boring stuff, which
right.
is generally when Frank's talking.
Exactly. Which is I understand that. But I forgot. I meant to wear something decent today, a sports jacket or something. And then because I think I'm doing Bernie and Sid today, too. They like to take a photograph and put it on Instagram. And I blew it. I just wore my standard short sleeve bowling style.
You'll catch on eventually.
I will.
You're such a radio guy, and I am such a you know, I come from the TV world, and I'm so much more visual than you, Frank.
You are, and much more visually appealing. That's a certainty. Now, you have been critical of universal masking. And masking 7-year-olds and having everybody wear a mask when they go to the bathroom or when they're driving. You must be just tickled pink at the new regulations from the CDC this week.
I find the reaction to the CDC's breaking snooze laughable, because it's like we've all been walking around. Well, not all of you in New York have been walking around masked, which I find insane. But everywhere else, people walk around outside without masks on. Where I'm at, people even walk inside without masks on. Inside people's homes, obviously. You can't go into businesses without a mask on, for the most part. But, you know, that is also starting to loosen up a little bit as well. But I find it incredible that, you know, the front page of the New York Post, you've got these slingers.
Right, they're acting like we're going back to normal.
But it's not even that. It's like, if you have the vaccine. No. No. If you are an adult and you can make decisions for yourself, you can not wear a mask, period. Like, why? I don't understand why people are waiting for the CDC to give them guidelines. And I hate the fact that I'm siding with Tucker Carlson. You know this.
I love that.
I cannot believe that the voice of reason comes from Fox News, where these rules and regulations got bigger and bolder because the American people allowed it to happen. You know, he's you know, he got on Gavin Newsom, you know, or Eric Garcetti, really, the mayor of LA, saying how he's like, everybody has to wear a mask. And everyone's like, okay. It's like, exactly. Right. What do you mean, everyone? You know, why are people just saying, okay? It makes no sense.
And then the CDC, in their own analysis of how are we doing, they said that even prior to the vaccine, they've only been able to find maybe 10% of COVID cases that were a result of outdoor transmission. So even prior to the vaccine, it doesn't seem as if masking outdoors was really preventing that many people from getting COVID.
Actually, masking indoors actually wasn't really preventing anyone either. And even though you make fun of me because I've been way more social and interacting with other human beings like a normal person would, more so than the average person, or, you know, without masks and everything else. I got COVID, and anywhere where a mask is required, I wore one. So where was I getting COVID from? Because no one in my inner circle or anyone I hung out with was was diagnosed with COVID. So anyway, but my other problem is this, Frank, and I don't know why, and this is something else that Tucker Carlson said that I'm like, why aren't people talking about the fact that I'm here. I had COVID. And now I'm here. Like, it's not as deadly as everybody was making it out to be. There is now, it was, you know, they said from way back when that it was 99%, over 99% survivable. The vulnerable population now has a vaccine, right? So you can go get the vaccine. That is your choice. But there isn't, it would appear that they are, they can't mandate it, but they are really strongly encouraging it, to the point where they are dangling freedoms in front of your face with it. Now college students, some college universities are requiring that all
St. John's, Rutgers, a whole bunch.
A whole host of them, which is actually going to turn away some students. They're just going to go online and get a degree. So they're really doing themselves a disservice, because we already know this doesn't affect the younger population the way it did with the elderly. So why are we still in this state of requirements about masks and 6 feet, and there's debates about 3 feet. There's so many things happening that don't make any sense. Am I wrong?
I completely agree with you. I'm waiting to interrupt with you and argue with you, but I agree with everything you said. 800-848-WABC. Marlena Shivo, COVID survivor, is here for the hour, and we'll take your calls, 800-848-9222. In just a minute, we'll talk a little bit about hurry sickness, and we will delve into some other areas as well. And it's always a popular feature when Marlena's here to explore some open letters. So letters, we get your letters, and Marlena's actually crafting some responses to open letters that you're going to want to hear. This is The Other Side of Midnight, straight ahead.
Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Hey, baby, I've never been in love, but I wanna be, so hurry up.
Superfruit, hurry up. There might be a new hurry sickness that might be the new pandemic. We're going to get into that a little bit later this hour. Frank Morano here with Marlena Shivo. We will take your calls at 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. I do have to, before we move on from COVID world, because there are a number of other things I want to get you to weigh in on, there are a number of interesting COVID parodies that are making their way around the internet, including this one that you brought to my attention.
Dr. Fauci, give us vaccines, help all the people who have been quarantined. We'll wear our masks and we'll have to stay distant. We'll wash our hands and we'll be more resistant. Fauci, yes? Promise us, please. We'll have a cure that can fight off this disease. Restrictions will lift with some ease. Dr. Fauci, don't forget me.
I think that's pretty catchy. You don't like it. You're shaking your head no.
Oh, it's terrible. First of all, his whiny voice. I don't like that. He ruined that song for me. You know that song is actually like a big part of the Halloween franchise. When you hear that, he's kind of like, right. So it's dumb. And like, disease. It's not a disease. It's a freaking virus. And you'll be fine. Like, and please, can we stop praising Dr. Fauci?
Yeah, that's true. He's been wrong about everything, including he was on the station in January of last year saying how it was not a big deal, the whole virus, and that China was on top of it. He was in an interview with John Catchmatidis, January 26th, 2020. He did a whole thing about how it's not really a big deal. All right. But now that might not be a well-delivered vaccine parody, but I want to get your opinion on this one, which I think is pretty good, actually.
never encouraged Americans to get vaccinated.
Promoted the shot, not whine about getting credit. Like when he got his prick, no mention he was getting it. Please take this remedy, make COVID a memory. And when it's time, get vaccinated. Please don't decline. Get your shot and we can get concerts and sports events. The summer could be so nice. Please just get your vaccine.
Pretty good. What do you think? It's not bad.
Well,
are you a Queen fan?
You know what my problem? Yeah, no, it's not even that. It's more like the messaging. Like we're at the mercy of, you know, the CDC and Dr. Fauci, and I'm just not down with it.
Now you had the virus, so am I correct in assuming you are not getting the vaccine?
Yes, Frank, yes. I am not getting the vaccine.
Have you noticed among the vaccinated population that there seems to be this loyalty to whichever vaccine they got, Pfizer, Moderna, and there's this fraternity, like the Pfizer people like to bond with one another, the Moderna people are all kind of clinging with one another. Have you noticed that?
No, I just noticed the way people talk about the vaccine at the gym and everything. They, you know, it's like, hey, oh, I'm getting my second shot today. And it's like this rah-rah thing. And I just stay quiet, obviously. But it's, you know, I have one friend who is like, I tell everybody. She sounds like that, by the way. I tell everybody, just take some Motrin. Take some Motrin after that second shot. I mean, I'm like, oh, you're so dramatic, first of all. How about you just not get the vaccine?
Well, for those of us that are getting the vaccine. I have noticed that. Have you noticed, Christian, that brand loyalty? The Pfizer people are all Team Pfizer.
No, I haven't. I mean, the only thing is that you get the Pfizer shot or the Moderna shot. I think you have more likely to get a reaction. Although I know plenty of people, including myself, who had a pretty bad reaction to the Pfizer shot.
Interesting. So this particular mini song parody, I thought was very well done. This is this is John Walsh who produced this, who's a very talented guy. He's become viral on Twitter and YouTube for a whole bunch of stuff, John Walsh. This is Pfizer Girl, which is a Barbie Girl parody. Listen to this.
Hiya, Pfizer.
Hi, Ben.
You got any extra shots?
Sure, Ben.
Sleeves up.
I'm a Pfizer girl in a COVID world. I'm the classic mRNA-tastic, 95%, there's no argument, got no contagion with my vaccination.
Come on, Pfizer, let's go run.
With a mask on.
Come on, Pfizer, let's go travel.
Only if essential. Oh, we're having so much fun.
We'll have to do this again for my second shot.
Oh, I love you, Ben.
So I thought that was actually the best produced of the videos that I've seen so far. You could see the visuals. It adds a lot to it. Just search John Walsh on Twitter. But I think you're not buying into the whole sense of optimism that the country has, I feel like, about vaccine mania. Like Joe Biden last night seemed very fired up about the vaccine.
It's not about it's not about the optimism. It's about the delusion. Mm. I feel like this whole thing has been overblown and it just keeps going. And this whole mask thing is out of control. Maybe if the masks went away, I wouldn't care so much.
Don't you think it was weird that Pelosi and Harris were wearing these masks behind Biden?
Of course. That was like the first thing I said out loud to my daughter, because she was just like, why is he not wearing a mask? And they are. I'm like, because it's silly, honey. It's silly. And I feel really bad because, speaking of outdoor masks, I got an invitation for a Mother's Day tea to her school, which is a very traditional thing that they do. Last year, obviously, school wasn't in, so they skipped it last year. But this year, they're like, oh, we're very, you know, happy to bring it back, and it's going to be outdoors. I have not stepped foot in either child's school since this whole thing.
That's healthy, right?
I mean, yeah, it's great. I don't get to see what space my child is living in. And I've gotten a little bit more like irritable about everything as well, because, well, I'll get to that in a second. So anyway, it was an outdoor thing. So I wrote to the teacher. She wanted an RSVP. I said, of course, I'll be there. Since it's outdoor, no masks, right? And I'm pushing. And she wrote, actually, masks will be required, you know, except when you're eating. It's like an airline. You know,
Well, that I don't understand at all. I mean, I noticed that situation in Vegas. I thought it was the strangest thing in the world. You can take your mask off to take a sip of your drink, but the rest of the time you have to keep it up. I mean, somehow when you're drinking, you can't spread the virus like you can when you're not drinking.
Well, right, exactly. I mean, I see. I mean, we see it all the time in restaurants and everything else. So last week, you know, speaking of masks and space in the school, you know, my kid, I've griped about this, the masks all day. It's so unnecessary. Yada yada yada. They sit in these desks all day long. They don't let them move from room to room, and they haven't been taking them outside very much because, oh, the fifth graders are on the grass, but the grass is wet, so they have to move them to the blacktop. And if they're on the blacktop, the second graders have to stay in class, and they show them a movie, and it's like really nice weather now and everything else. And even when it's cold, it's actually fine for them to go outside as long as it's not snowing or raining. So she says to me that her teacher yelled at her every day. I was like, excuse me? I didn't hear this till after the fact. No one told me on the school side. Why? Because I was fidgeting in my desk. What do you mean? Oh, I was just playing with stuff in my desk because I was bored during math. And she would tell me to stop. And I don't know. I just can't stop. Of course you can't stop. You're sitting. You are 7 years old.
Right, you have almost
sitting
pent up
in
energy.
a desk. They don't let you outside. They don't let you walk around. They don't let you do anything. You're in a mask. Of course you're fidgeting in your desk. And this. So I said to her, I said, okay, why don't you tell your teacher? Maybe she should make her lessons a little bit more interesting for you, and then you won't fidget in your desk. And my husband looked at me and, like, as if to say, are you kidding? Did you just say that? And I said, all right, honey, don't say that to your teacher. Tell her, you could say it to your teacher, but just say your mother said it.
I'm sure that'll go over.
But
really
she did
well.
Not. Yes, she didn't. She didn't relay the message to her.
That is a child well raised, I'd say, by not relaying that particular message.
She just figured out what her name is. She just asked for the first time. Is my name a word? Yes, it is.
Your daughter's name is Rebel.
My daughter's
very
name is
apropos.
Rebel.
Very apropos. The other thing, we're talking with Marlena Shivo. You can follow her on all forms of social media at Marlena Shivo. We'll take your calls at 800-848-9222. Juliet Huddy will check in with us in a couple of minutes as well. One of the other many things that I love about you is that you have been a staunch critic of the, I don't even like this term, but the woke culture, this uber PC-ness that has continued to grip the whole country at warp speed for the last year and a half, especially. And now we see things escalating a bit, not with the Escalade, but with the Jeep Grand Cherokee. What's going on in terms of Jeep and Cherokee? I know they were criticized for this previously, but it seems like things are ramping up a bit.
Well, someone wrote an editorial again in the HuffPost about this, saying that the Cherokees should not be part of a brand of any sort of vehicle. And, I can't speak for an entire population of people. I never even made the connection, by the way. And I've been driving it. Well, now I have a Ford Expedition, but for the greater part of 16 years, I drove a Jeep Cherokee.
How dare you?
And I never, ever thought about what Cherokee was. I just knew what the price points were. That's all I ever thought about. It's a Grand Cherokee, a Cherokee Sport, whatever. That's it. I grew up in a town over from where I grew up from, the high school team or mascot, whatever. They were the Cherokees. Next to them were the Shawnee. Like, is everybody going to change their names now? I mean, why is it offensive? There's no actual, like, symbol on the car itself. Am I just being completely narrow-minded here?
I don't think so. I think the whole thing is
silly.
It's
just a word. It's actually just a word, and nothing. I mean, there's nothing.
It's going to be very, very interesting to see where that goes. We're going to take a quick break. We have some more open letters that Marlena has responses to. And the last time we got Juliet and Marlena together was at the Friars Club. We'll see if we can get them involved in similar shenanigans this time around. And we'll take your calls as well. 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. 77 WABC.
Oh, don't pour your love out on me, baby. If you knew that I think that maybe I'd just lay me down.
Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds. If you ever want to know the music that we're playing on this program, you can join our Facebook group where I talk about it. Just go on Facebook and type Morano Radio Fans and Haters. That's M-O-R-A-N-O Radio Fans and Haters. There's always an interesting conversation going on that group. They can tell you what I'm doing wrong every minute of this show. My guest for the hour is the lovely and talented Marlena Schiavo, social critic, satirist, a veteran media producer, and certified friend of Rita Cosby. You monitor what goes on in that Facebook group occasionally, don't you?
I get alerts for it sometimes. Sometimes I click, sometimes I don't. Really depends on my time constraints, Frank.
Understandable. Yes. No, it is a quirky group from time to time, that's for sure. Now, one of the things that you've been doing the last few times that you were here is you've been answering open letters that are impossible to respond to, but that's not stopping you from concocting a response to these open letters. What do you have for us today?
I have one letter that just stuck out at me, and this was from a girl writing to a guy that she used to see in a bar locally in the city here in New York. Who was always on his computer and never socialized and seemed to get annoyed when other people would approach him and ask him if what he was doing or if he was a writer. And he used to sip his wine. And she went through this whole description of this man, never once spoke to him, mentioned that she would sit at the end of the bar making fun of him with her friends from time to time. But now, when bars shut down because of COVID, she missed the guy. It became a staple of her social activity. So now she wrote him a letter. And it was entitled, An Open Letter to the Guy Who Was at the Bar on His Computer.
Mm.
All right. So I'm imagining this man has not read it. But if he did, I would imagine this is what he would say. Dear girl at the end of the bar making fun of me, it is amazing that you found the time to write me an entire letter but never spoke one word to me in person. Sorry to ruin your fantasy about me being a novelist or an intense Yelp reviewer, but I was preparing notes for something called Event 201, a table exercise led by Bill and Linda Gates regarding pandemic preparedness and media narratives. I guess the rest is obvious. Sincerely, you know who. P.S. My name is Frank.
Oh, you had to name him Frank. Of course. Of course. All right. Well, that's
it's open to interpretation.
It is. It is. It is indeed, as a lot of your open letter responses are. Hey, speaking of response, there was one article that caught my eye. And if I'd love for Juliet to weigh in on this as well. Juliet, good morning. How are
good
you doing
morning.
This morning?
Good. Good. I'm good. I love that song, too, that you just played.
Isn't that great?
Oh, my God. It just completely wakes me up. Great song.
Yeah. No, it gets people in a proper Thursday frame of mind. How's everything going with you?
Everything's fine. Everything is fine.
Well, that's good.
I'm just, going through the news.
Wonderful.
Well, seeing what's happening in life.
Glad somebody will be prepared for the WABC news from 5 to 6:30.
Stop it.
So, Marlene and I were engaging in one of our favorite activities, which is talking about you when you're not around.
Oh.
And Marlena brought to my attention this new potential ailment, hurry sickness, which I confess I've never heard of. And Marlena may be suffering from this, and I'm curious if we go through the symptoms to see if you're suffering from it as well.
Oh, I already can tell you that I am, but go ahead and tell me what it is.
Frank, you had to give me a minute to pull this article up.
Well,
Radio 101.
I know, you're right. You're right. Well, I mean, it's my first day.
I am all about the remedies to this at the moment.
If people need a second, and if they have not yet done so, I would suggest that they subscribe to the podcast. All you have to do of this program, if you missed any portion of today's show, my discussion with Colonel Douglas McGregor, or our analysis of the mayoral debate, or anything else that happened today, you can just go and subscribe to The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Marano, wherever you get your podcast, The Other Side of Midnight, and hit the subscribe button.
Okay, we're ready for what hurry sickness is, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there are six symptoms here. The first one is you treat everything like a race. And I guess it says some situations do require us to move with haste, like when you need to meet an important deadline or get to the airport. But people with hurry sickness have trouble differentiating between the hustle, when the hustle is necessary, and when it isn't.
Is that you, Julia?
Yes.
Number two, it's me too, Juliet. Number two, you find it impossible to just do one task at a time. How about you, Juliet? Juliet, what do you think of
that? No, I would not say that. No.
Really? See, now I have that too. And so, you know, I'm heading towards this illness quite quickly.
That is absolutely me. 100%. I'm always doing multiple tasks.
I find that hard to believe, because I find it hard to believe that men know how to multitask.
Oh, that's
there you
go. But intolerant.
Yeah, I'm so woke.
You are.
Okay, so three. You get highly irritable when encountering a delay.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We have a coworker here that insists on stopping me from preparing for the show when I am here at night.
Oh, my
and
God.
And he or she, it drives me crazy. Like, and this is a very nice person. I go crazy because this person insists on talking to me for 20 minutes when clearly I'm hurrying.
Why don't you just say, I love talking with you. I have got to get going.
Juliet. I do. It doesn't do anything to slow this person down. I'm walking away as I'm saying it, and this person will follow me. It makes kills me. So yes, that's
why don't you try telling this person that you have irritable bowel syndrome and that you have to use the restroom? Well, hide.
I do have a reputation to maintain.
Yeah. Well, you have that tea that makes you go constantly, apparently.
GetTheTea.com, by the way.
So, all right. Well, yes, I have number three as well, as opposed to your number two. But I do get anxious and frustrated when things get delayed. Okay. Number four, you feel perpetually behind schedule.
No.
Ah.
Mm-mm.
You're kidding.
No.
That's me. I feel like I didn't think I was a patient for this disease, but I usually am behind schedule, so I certainly do feel that way.
Oh, I'm always like racing to the next thing, and then to the next thing, and then it's like, oh.
That's because you're not finishing your first thing because you've got the multitasking thing going on.
That's,
you're right.
Well, I'm also hurrying through the things because I'm always in a time constraint, because my whole day begins extremely early before my kids get up, and then it comes to almost a screeching halt when I have to go pick them up, because everything then shifts in their direction, you know. So it's just, I don't know. What is the next thing? Five, you interrupt or talk over people. I don't have this.
I do. All of this, but you have to understand, for years I worked in television situations where I had two co-hosts, and you have to get in when you can get in. And so, but that was sort of,
oh, I just interrupted you. Maybe.
So no, that's okay.
No,
that's okay.
That's a check on you.
No, but Juliet, that is your job. You have to jump into the conversation, but in your personal life, are you interrupting your husband or
sometimes I do. Yes. Because I get so excited about things, and I think, doesn't everybody kind of do that? No.
I guess it depends. I mean, at some level of it, I'm sure people do that. It's like, oh, I'll let you finish in a minute, but let me just say this before I forget what I'm about to say. People do that, but there are some people that perpetually just, you know.
That would probably be me. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I'm putting that as a check for you, Julia.
Okay. And number six.
What do we have?
You're obsessed with checking things off your to-do list.
Okay. So look, I want you to look at the multiple to-do lists that I have here. Okay, here is one labeled to-do, right? And it's multiple to-do lists on the same page. And then here is a whole app which is nothing but to-do lists. Everything is my life is governed by to-do lists.
You know, Frank, I love how you got me out of bed only to put me back to sleep with this. I don't care about your to-do list. Stop showing me documents right now. No one can see you or your computer.
That's true.
But also, isn't a to-do list, shouldn't that encapsulate all of the things? Like, I don't understand multiple to-do lists.
Mm. No.
Shouldn't it just be one to-do list?
No, no. I'll show you later because
that's okay.
Clearly I'm boring.
That's okay.
Marlena with it. But no, the way I do it is you have multiple to-do. One is the stuff that I have to do for the show. Then is the stuff that I have to do around the house. Then is the stuff that I have to do for leisure. Then it's the stuff that I have to do in terms of political stuff. And then I'll alternate. So I'll do a show task, then a house task, then a political task, then a leisure, you know?
No. This is where your problem lies, Frank.
You have
to just have one list and prioritize it. If it's a show thing, then that's the next on the list. It's not going to be the first thing on the list, because if the first thing on the list might have to be a house thing, you just have to prioritize.
All right. Well, I'm learning.
I will say this. I've never put leisure activities on a to-do list.
Well, I do, because otherwise they don't get done. And I'd like to make some time to read or
watch a motion picture
or something.
Wow. Do you actually write down, like, from 3 to 4, I'm going to read books?
Yes, I do.
Whoa. Wow.
So otherwise, I just don't end up doing it.
Nerd alert. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, this is
a long sickness. I mean,
well, that was it. Those were the
And who came up with this?
A psychologist, of course.
All right. Okay. I'm going to link to this on my Facebook page. They are killing you on my Facebook page right now, Marlena, for their feeling that you're not taking COVID seriously. So there you have it.
Why would I not be taking COVID seriously? Or how am I not taking COVID
seriously? I don't know. So
Frank, can we get back to something really quick?
Yes.
During the interrupt thing, you said, yeah, you should check that off, Juliet. Now, do you want to elaborate on that?
About interrupting.
Well, because you've said you're trained to interrupt because of your television background, and that you do interrupt your husband and so forth. So I think that's a yes.
Juliet, would you like to hear the mitigation suggestions?
Uh-huh.
All right. So you said yes to number one. It says, so the first one was, consider what's truly time sensitive and what can wait. So you just said that about prioritizing.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently you're already doing that without the help of a therapist.
I think my whole sickness stems from childhood, because my father would really, really harass us to be, get here, there, get it, you know. And so I literally, my husband laughs about this because he's like, you're not living with daddy anymore. It's been many, many years, you know, get over it. But there's that childhood traumatic kind of thing, I think, that's still there. So that's why I need to work on this type of thing.
Oh, okay.
I need to just enjoy life. It's cool. Everything's cool.
Yeah.
Don't have to rush.
Yeah. Now that recreational cannabis is legal, maybe that'll do it, Julia. No?
Nah.
All right. Give us a few more.
Maybe you could carve out some time to sling your mask like everybody in the New York Post is doing. So let me see. So the next thing would be carve out small window of time for self-care, which I find a really funny suggestion, because self-care is part of my to-do list. Like, you know,
I get a facial,
get my nails done, get my hair color. Like, that's all part of, I've got an appointment at this hour and I've got that's part of the big picture of everything I need to do.
Are you just mocking me for having read and watch a movie on my to-do list?
It's totally different.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think it is.
Juliet, do you agree with Frank that it's different?
Yes,
well, I think
does. Don't make her feel bad. Don't agree, shame her.
No, I'm going to say that, I'm just giving you my truth. This is my journey, and I'm giving you my truth. Blessed. I think that I would say that that's sort of a leisure activity. Getting your nails done, you know, little thing pampering is leisure, but you have to make appointments for those things.
Absolutely.
So that's why it would not be considered.
Fair enough.
It sounds leisure, and like, that's the thing. It sounds leisurely, but when you are a type AAA person, right? And you're like, you don't like a chip now, and you don't want a gray hair, and you don't want to, you know, you have all these
Understood.
Like hang-ups, right? It's like, I got to get this done.
There's nothing worse than, nothing worse. Well, there's many things worse, but let's just, you know, the sitting at a salon and getting my nails, like my actual hands, done, and you can't get on your phone and there's nowhere to just look.
Right.
Like, all of that makes me crazy.
Nothing
That's why
works.
I'm using the press-ons now.
Yes,
and
nothing
works. And that is the hurry sickness, right? Because you, it feels like a delay. You're like, oh my God, just can you paint faster?
Yes. Isn't there a spray that can make this stuff, you know, harden in 2 seconds?
I think that's why gel manicures are so popular, because you could just be like, okay, and now I'm done. I can run out of here instead of having to, you know, sit under a fan for 10 years.
Well, again, I have the secret. It's these press-on, like, glue things. They're great. They're the best.
Okay.
Love them.
Give us a few more mitigation techniques.
Oh, okay. So that was self-care. We're moving on to, this cracks me up. This is the most basic of basicness. Create an evening routine. And it talks about turning off your brain and, you know, drink some tea, journal, do whatever calms you.
Scrapbook.
Right. First of all, I don't want to turn off my brain. There's enough brainless individuals walking around. Like, I'd rather keep my brain on. And plus, I do my best thinking at night when my kids are sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like some people, this is a whole AB type personality thing.
Yeah.
Some people are just, you know, we're aggressive and assertive and big personalities. And some people are just more mellow. That's just the way it is.
I know.
Well, nothing to be ashamed of.
Juliet, we will let you hurry up and get ready for the WABC news. Thank you for playing our diagnostic.
It is always my pleasure, and I love Ms. Schiavo.
Ah, I love you back. I wish you were in the studio with us.
Well, I will be there momentarily.
Okay.
All right. Well, this is The Other Side of Midnight. Marlena, thank you as always. Coming in.
Frank, thank you.
All right. They could find Marlena on all forms of social media. So you don't have to comment on my Facebook page saying how you're upset that Marlena doesn't take the COVID virus seriously.
I do take it seriously.
I know. You had COVID, right? So you can write to her directly. Find her on the Facebook or everywhere else at Marlena Schiavo. She'll be back soon, hopefully one day next week.
Just tell them, there's a vaccine. Go get it.
Yeah.
Get a vaccine.
I mean, it's
done. They have a solution now.
We'll do our mask burning. All right. Thank you, as always, Marlena. We will see you soon. We're going to do 15 seconds of fame next. So hurry up and pick up the phone. 1-800-848-WABC. Be heard on any subject for 15 seconds. That's 1-800-848-WABC. If you ever have a hard time going, then you do want to try the tea that makes you go. Don't let Marlena's mockery of it hinder your enthusiasm for it. Go to the website getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Gives you more energy without caffeine. Tastes great. And it's a mild cleanse. It's a daily detox that cleanses you from the inside out. You can read the testimonials for yourself at getthetea.com. And if you order some at getthetea.com and you use the promo code Frank, you'll get to save money on shipping anywhere in the United States of America. 15 seconds of fame next, 800-848-WABC.